a dog chasing its tail. It was always running in that circle. Sin, sacrifice, forgiveness, and sin. And some people really, that old covenant appeals to something in man. It is something that man, it appeals to his heart. I'll do what I do. I'll go to God, give God what he wants. You want an animal? You want some money? You want some Hail Marys? I'll come and I'll give you what you want and you give me forgiveness, and then I'll go back and do what I want, and then I'll come and give you what you want again. It is a very cyclical way of understanding faith, and it is a religion that sort of comes and you place it on top of your life as it is. Take your life as it is, then you become a Christian, and the Christianity just basically alters certain things in your life, but your life goes on pretty much the way it was. And in that kind of a religion. But in our kind of religion, in Christianity, we go on. We run a race. We do not run a circle. We run a race to a goal, which is Christ. We want to grow up into Christ. It is the hope of glory, Christ in us. I hope for something glorious, not for something merely, well, that's enough. His ministry is so much more excellent. See, people want religion that is just going to take care of business. Not everybody, of course. You listen to this Bible study because you love the things of God. But I'm speaking, and you know this is true, that in the world in general, religion is kind of dead. It runs in a circle. And anyone who's been part of those religions know that what I'm saying is true. And that's generally how people like it. They kind of like that Old Testament style, let's run it in a circle. As opposed to, I want my life to change. I want my whole being to be altered radically, so that I'm not even the same man I was. I'm going to die to myself and put to death the foolish lusts and the selfishness of the self that leads me astray. Christ's ministry is so much more excellent because it isn't the cyclical thing. It is a ministry that brings you to victory. Yes, and it is a race, and there's a progression. But it is a progression, not a progression-regression, a circle. And I do know sometimes you can take two steps forward and one step back and three steps forward and four steps back. But you know what? If Christ is for you and working in you, you will get ahead. I know, because I've seen it. The covenant is better. It's better promises. It's established on better promises. The promises are better. In the old covenant, the promise was, if you do these commandments, you will live. Well, that's nice. If you don't do these, you will die. I set before you life and death. But in Christ, the promises are yea and amen. I set before you life. Life and death? No, life. I set before you life. My covenant is a covenant of life. Enter into the covenant and inherit eternal life. By the power, remember, he ministers by the power of an everlasting life. By the fact that he raises his hand to heaven, as it says in Deuteronomy 32, I live forever. Therefore, he has the power. And therefore, what are the promises in this new covenant? What are the better promises? Well, you can become a son of God. That's a better promise. That wasn't promised in the Old Testament, though it was alluded to. Psalm 82, I'm thinking of, like where he talks about to those who were, as Jesus, the way Jesus interpreted it is, makes it very clear. He says, if you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, how do you say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme, because I said, I am the Son of God? Meaning, if the Israelites, whom the word of God came to, he called them sons, and he said, all of you are children of the Most High God. And God's by inheritance, meaning the promises are to you to be my children. I will be to you a God, and you shall be my people. But it was limited only to Israel. In this covenant, it is not limited only to Israel. It says, who should believe on him? Those who believe on him, those who receive him, he gave he power to become the sons of God. I think that's a different thing. It's like in the old covenant, it was like, if you keep these commandments by your power, you will live in, by them. In the new covenant, what he says is, I will write my commandments in your heart, and I will keep you. I will give you the power to overcome the devices of the enemy. I will give you the power. I will give you the faith you need to believe, so you won't be like the example of unbelief in the Old Testament. I will give you all things that pertain to life and godliness, as he said in 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and that by and these great and exceeding precious promises by which we are able to be partakers of the divine nature. The promises are this ability to partake of the divine nature. And your sins are forgiven. It will turn you from your iniquity. You will partake of the divine nature. You will become a son of God. You will be raised from the dead. These are awesome promises in this covenant. The old covenant didn't contain those promises, as far as it wasn't an explicit part of the covenant. The covenant was only, do this and you will, it'll go well with you. You will prosper. I will be to you God. You will be to me a people. Though in the mind of God, the promises are foreshadowed in the Old Testament. But the covenant itself does not contain those promises. So according to Paul in verse 7, there was something faulty about the old covenant. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, and this is quoting from Jeremiah 31, probably right out of the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation. It's this ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament made in the centuries before Christ. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.